Well, good morning, Lanesville Christian Church. Good morning. We are so glad that you are here to join us today for a time of worship, a time to hopefully hear an encouraging and challenging message from God's holy word, and a time to come together and to receive and partake in holy communion, together as one family united in the blood of Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. Well, as you probably already noticed, service is a little different this morning. There was no communion. That was on purpose. Don't worry, we didn't just blow past it and forget that that's something that we need to do. Actually, we're gonna do things just a little bit differently today. And so when I finish, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and they're going to play a song. And while they play that song, I invite all of you parents to go and get all of your little and middle beans, as David Harris would say, go get all the beans. That means your children. If you don't speak David Harris language, that's okay. I do. I live with him. He's great. But go get your kids while they play that song after I finish my sermon. And then everybody come back in this way that we can all partake in communion together as one family united in Christ. And then Wyatt will come up after that song, lead us in communion. And communion will be served by our students here at LCC. We're going to have pairs of them in front of each row, and we'll serve it by intention like we did on Good Friday if you were here for that service. And so if you're wondering, again, to remind us what Cassidy said, why are we doing all of this? Why is this random kid up here? Don't let my youthful looks deceive you. I am 21. I'm old. I feel old. Everything feels old. College has made me feel like I'm in my 80s. I'm not going to lie. Why are we doing this? Well, it's because, like Cassidy said, this is the best way, the biggest way that we can give back to show our appreciation for not just only our mothers, but our fathers, our parents, and everyone who invests into us. And so from all of us, I want to offer a most sincere and most deserved thank you. If you have a mom, raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar and you're going to hell. So, just kidding. We're all liars or sinners at some point, so we'll talk about grace. We'll get there. But we all have moms, and without them, we wouldn't be here. So praise God for them. And I want to offer a most sincere, most deserved thank you to all of our mothers and all of our spiritual mothers as well. So let's give one round of applause for all of them. Amen. Let's go. We could not do this life without you, without your support, and I hope that you feel appreciated this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll dive right in. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here into this building this morning. We ask that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds, that we may readily receive your word, that we might be formed into your likeness, God. Help us to be encouraged and challenged. God, speak through me and let your words be heard. God, we need you and we need your holiness in our lives. And Father, it's in your righteous and your holy Son's name, the name of Jesus Christ, that we pray these things. Amen. Well, as I was formulating, what do I preach about here on Mother's Day? What things should I seek? What message should I seek to convey? One word just kept coming up as I was searching through Scripture, and that word was holiness, and its counterpart, unholiness. So we're going to dive into holiness today and take a look at perhaps where it's needed and perhaps where we can find it. And 1 Peter is going to help us do that. So if you can, please stand with me as I read the word. And I'm just going to read this 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 to 25 from top to bottom. This is the word of the Lord given to us by 1 Peter. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here and reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for one another, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. What a beautiful picture of holiness, and how we live in it. We're going to dive into this and take it apart and see exactly how we can apply this to our lives. But before we talk about holiness, I want to talk about unholiness just for a minute. When you look around at our culture today, at least in modern day America, and certainly at the modern day university, holiness is not just severely lacking, it is all but non-existent. Unholiness seems to be the natural order of the day. Not just unholiness as in the absence of holiness. Not just unholiness because, well, okay, there's not explicit holy love and holy mercy and righteousness in this place. But unholiness in the sense that it is explicitly the opposite of God. That is our modern day culture. At least that's where I have been living for the past 3 years. At college. I think a great example of this, I could literally talk for 3 hours about all of the examples of unholiness that I've seen at college in the past 3 years, but I'm not gonna do that. I'm only gonna talk about a couple. But I think a broader cultural one that's of great significance to us, that's easy to see, is that a few years ago, Sam Smith, who's an artist, wrote a song called Unholy. It's literally just the name of the song. And in the song, the lyrics just talk about unholiness in vulgar detail. And you're saying, Paul, why do you bring this up? First off, if you did not know about this song, praise God. If you did know about this song, I'm sorry. But why bring this up? Well, I bring this up because this song was at the number one charts of Spotify for over 2 months when it came out, and it currently sits at 1.77 billion plays on Spotify alone. That's almost 2 billion people who have listened to this on Spotify. So that's not a song. That's a cultural barometer. And that cultural barometer is going off saying, hey, unholiness is rampant and it's all around you. What are you going to do about it? And how are you going to live your life? Because this is the natural order of the day. Isaiah 5 Verse 20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. If there was one verse to sum up our modern day culture, perhaps it would be this one. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. I've heard for the past 3 years evil things being called good and good things being called evil. And it challenged me. Because how am I going to respond to that? How am I going to live in holiness in the midst of blatant unholiness and futile thinking around me? I think that's why God called me to this passage this morning. That's why God calls us to be holy as he is holy, to be set apart, to be morally blameless. So where does it start? Where does holiness start? Well, Peter tells us right here, in verse 13 through 16, he says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Did you catch that at the very beginning? He says, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace that is Christ, that is his redemption. With minds that are alert and fully sober. I love the New King James Version of this. It says, and I'm going to do it in a 14th century accent here because it's perfect. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Which I think is beautiful. Do you have the picture of the knight there? You can just imagine him. You can imagine this man waking up to you in the morning and he's standing over you and he says, gird up the loins of your mind, my friend. But there's truth in that. There's so much truth in that. Your mind must be alert. It must be sober. You must guard it. Because when I showed up to Indiana State University, my first night there, it was Monday night. I moved in Sunday. It was Monday night. It was a welcoming party. And I show up and it's this big event hosted around the fountain, hosted by the university. And as I'm walking into it, I don't know what I'm walking into. As I'm walking into it, Unholy by Sam Smith is being played through the loudspeakers, and it's being blasted. And I look around, and I see hundreds of students just doing all sorts of things that I shall not speak here on stage, dressed in all sorts of ways that I will not speak about here on stage, some of them in furry suits, which I didn't even really know what that was until I got to college. If you don't know what that is, go to Indiana State University. You'll find out real fast. And so I walk into this thing, and I'm like, What in the world am I looking at? What is this unholiness? And I reflect back on that moment, and I realize that it was explicitly because my mind was alert and my mind was sober that I recognized the unholiness that was before me. It was because I had set my hope on Christ. It was because I had left this life of evil that I recognized the evil before me. And so we are to set our minds on things that are above, things that are not on this earth. We are to think about whatever is true and honorable, whatever is just and pure and lovely and commendable, things that are worthy of praise. We are to think about these things, to take every thought captive and make it obey Christ. Because what you set your mind on will determine the course of your day. And consequently, it will determine the course of your life. So our holiness begins in our thinking. It's holiness in thought. If your mind is not alert, if your mind is not sober, then you cannot pursue holiness. There's no way. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24 explains this beautifully. It says this, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to their hardness of heart, they have become callous and have given themselves to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life that is corrupt through deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on a new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Make no mistake, you are an unceasing spiritual being with an eternal destiny in God's great universe, and every thought that you think, and every word that you say, and every decision that you make is forming you into a being who is holy or unholy. You are being formed by your thoughts. Your thoughts are forming you. Are they forming you to holiness? Are they leading you to holiness? Are they alert? Is your mind alert? Is your mind sober? Is your mind set on the grace of God? Is it open to allowing the Spirit to work within you? Because you can't earn holiness, but you can surrender yourself and allow Christ to work within you so that we can be holy as he is holy. But how do I get my mind alert? How do I get my mind to the point where it's sober? How do I even begin to pursue this? Well, Peter explains this beautifully in verses 17 through 21. He says, "Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God." And so we can pursue holiness because of redemption. Right? There's a step here in between holiness and where we currently are without Christ. We weren't redeemed with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. The truth is that you are a sinner. You are a great sinner, and so am I. But we have a greater Savior. And that greater Savior is Christ. And he has redeemed us by his blood. Because he came, and he lived, and he died, and he rose again and ascended into heaven, and he's coming back. And he invites you to pursue holiness, to live in holiness as he is holy. I love 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." We catch that. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. 2 Peter 1 verse 20 says, "He was chosen before the creation of the world." And so before time even began, before God spoke, before the living word spoke and there was, God saw your need for salvation. He foresaw your need for redemption. And he made a plan. Because he's not just holy in his love. He is holy in his justice. And he demands that justice be paid for our sins. And that justice was paid. And it was paid not through gold or silver, but through the precious blood of Christ. And because it has been paid, we are now called to live as foreigners, as aliens to sin, and as citizens of heaven. And so I ask you, do you feel more like a citizen of sin and an alien to heaven, or a citizen of heaven and an alien to sin? So many times at Indiana State University for the past 3 years, I felt like an alien. I feel like I don't belong here. This is weird. There's so much evilness and unholiness around me. And that's exactly how it should feel. And that's exactly how it should feel everywhere. Not just when unholiness is easily seen, but perhaps it's more difficult to live as aliens to sin when the unholiness around us, when the sin around us is not as easily seen. For me, it's easy because it's like, well, yeah, that's just straight up against God or demonic, clearly. But maybe at work, it's a little more hidden. But either way, we're called to live as foreigners. And we are called to purify ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. That same word reverence in 2 Corinthians is the same word reverence here in 1 Peter. We are to live out our time as foreigners in reverent fear. The word is phobos, and it means to respect, to revere, to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And so we live in reverent fear. Why? Not because God is cruel, because he is some dictator up in the sky. No, we live in reverent fear because he is holy, and his justice, and his mercy, and his wrath, and his anger are all holy as well. And when we understand that, when we understand that his mercy and his justice are holy, when we understand that he demanded a price be paid for us and then paid that price, then we understand redemption. Then we understand our need for redemption. Then we can find holiness because of our redemption. And when we grasp that weight, when you sense the weight of that within you, your heart can't help but respond. And this is where Peter ends us in verse 22 through 25. He says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for one another, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass will wither, and the flowers will fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. So often when we think of holiness, or at least when I think of holiness, I see, you know, like some, like, you know, majestic dude with this big long robes on, with like a scepter of some sort and like gold all around him. And that's great. But holiness is not piety. Holiness is love set on fire. And so the end result of holiness is that it flows outward in sincere, sacrificial love. Right? That's where this leads. He says, start with your thinking. Get your thinking right. And you can get your thinking right because you have been redeemed. And now that you've done that, now that you've purified yourself by obeying the truth, the living truth, you have sincere love for one another. And so holiness should manifest itself in our love for one another. And not just in our appearance or anything else. When I think about my life and how it has played out in the past 3 years, I think that so much of it and so much of how I have been formed, because you're constantly being formed by the things that are around you, I've been in great danger of being formed into unholiness. And in some ways I have. But in the midst of so much sin and despair and unholiness around me, I have found that the grace of God is sufficient for me and is made perfect in my weakness. And that perfection that is in my weakness has led to some of the most amazing conversations I have ever had in my entire life. It's led to opportunities where I can love others sincerely, because I have been born again. And how does he end it? He says, the living and enduring word of God, everything else will fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Matthew 24, verse 35 says this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. My words will never pass away. And so the living Word, who is eternal, has called you and commanded you to be holy as He is holy. And so as the world celebrates unholiness as freedom, the Word celebrates the freedom to be holy. What a beautiful, what an amazing thing that we, sinners in need of a Savior, can pursue holiness, can pursue the likeness of God, not through our own strength, but through the grace that is Christ's blood on the cross. What an amazing picture of who God is. I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team back up here as we come to a close and as we enter into a time of Holy Communion together. Holiness is not optional. It's not just like I've been redeemed and now I'm good. I've accepted God's grace for my life and I've been saved. Okay, you've been redeemed. Now pursue holiness. Now obey the truth. Now apply the living Word. And do what you must. Because God's love is holy. His mercy is holy. His wrath is holy. And His anger is holy. And so I ask you, have you been redeemed? Have you been redeemed? Have you acknowledged that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and He came, and He bled, and He died so that you may be redeemed? And if you have, then amazing. And if you haven't, then I urge you to consider that this morning. And if you have been redeemed, then are you pursuing holiness? Are you holy as He is holy? Are you loving your neighbors well? Are you loving those around you well? Is your holiness leading to love, or is it leading to impatience? What is it leading to? Where have you compromised it? Is your moral compass more aligned with the unholy culture around you, or is it aligned with the living Word who is within you, who is the Holy Spirit, who is the Son of God, who is God the Father? Are you exemplifying holiness to your family as a mother, as a father? Are you teaching your children the way that they should go by modeling the holiness of Christ? Is your thinking alert and sober so that when you show up to places that you never expect you would be, you know what to do, you know how to pray, you know how to talk to people because you are alert, you're on it, because you recognize your need for grace. You recognize that you yourself cannot do it alone. Is your heart holy? Are your desires holy? And the truth is, they're probably not fully, but praise God, because we can pursue Him each and every day to be holy as He is.